Please open your Bibles this morning to the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 6. And I want to direct your attention to verse 10. This is how the Word of God does read. God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. I want to use this verse this morning topically to teach on the topic, stay the course. Our Father and our God, this morning we are grateful for the blessing of one more day. And Lord, as thy word is now open, we now pray that I will speak. Spirit of the living God, we now pray that I will give this man articulation of speech, clarity of thought. But Lord God, I will give thy people a hearing heart, that each one will hear, thus says the Lord. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Since most people know that I'm a pastor, they sometimes ask me different kinds of questions. And there is one particular question that I've been asked repeatedly. And this is the question. Why do people often tend to quickly forget the many good things a person has done and just remember the one bad thing they did wrong? Well, I must admit, this is one of those questions that I don't have a definite answer for. As Winston Churchill once said, it is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. What makes this question complex is because it has to do with trying to understand what is going on in the human heart. And as the prophet Jeremiah will remind us, the heart is more deceitful than all else, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I cannot. But while people tend to quickly judge us because of the wrong we do and forget the good we have already done, God is the exact opposite. Though God sees and knows all our failures and he disciplines us when we do fail, yet, as the writer of Hebrews will put it, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And this truth can be best captured in the life of one man in the Bible. And the man's name is David, the king of Israel. So this morning, using David as a case study, I want to explore this truth that is highlighted for us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. What does it mean when the Bible said God is not unjust as to forget your work? And also, I want to look at the implications. What implications does this hold for you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? So let's begin this morning with a biographical sketch of the life of David. The story of David began in 1 Samuel chapter 16. After the failure of Saul, the first king of Israel, God instructed Samuel the seer to travel to Bethlehem and to go to the house of a man called Jesse, because according to God, he has selected for himself a king among his sons. So Samuel travels to Bethlehem, gathers Jesse and his sons together, and the selection process began. When Eliab, the firstborn of Jesse, walked up, Samuel said, "This surely is the anointed of God." But God reminded Samuel that while men might look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. And Eliab was not chosen. And all of the sons of Jesse actually walked by, and God did not choose any one of them. Then Samuel asked Jesse, said, is there still a son? Do you still have one more? And Jesse said, yes, I do. He's walking in the field tending the sheep. And Samuel said, go get him. And there they went to get this young man called David. And when David appeared before Samuel, the Lord told Samuel, this is he. And Samuel anointed David king over Israel. And he was around 16 or so years old when he was anointed king over Israel. But it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he actually became king over the entire nation of Israel. And the Bible said he reigned for 40 years. But David, like all of us, was not a perfect man. And there was one particular failure that stood out in the life of David. And this can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, according to this narrative, it was in the spring when kings go to war. And David decided to stay at Jerusalem. Nothing wrong with that. And one evening, he arose from his bed and walked on the roof of his house, of his palace. And from the roof, he actually looked into his neighbor's house, presumably, and he saw a woman bathing. And the woman, the Bible said, was very beautiful in appearance. Her name was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, driven by lust, David inquired about this woman. He was told specifically that this woman is the wife of Uriah. And by the way, Uriah was actually in the battle that David was not there. He was fighting the king's battle, fighting the children of Ammon. And he was one of his most loyal soldiers. But David, filled with his lust, asked Bathsheba to be brought to him. And when Bathsheba was brought to him, sexually assaulted her, laid with Bathsheba. And after a while, Bathsheba informed David that she was pregnant. Knowing that his adulterous sin would be revealed, David tried to cover his track. And what did he do? He invited Uriah the Hittite to come home and to go to his wife. And on two occasions, he refused to go. Then David masterminded the death of Uriah the Hittite. He put a letter in his hand, instructed the commander of his army, Joab, to place him at the front of the battle and to back away. And here was Uriah the Hittite, taking in his own hand his death sentence. And he went back to the battlefield with his letter. And Joab obeyed the order of the king. And Uriah was placed in the front of the battle. And Uriah was killed. Though Uriah was killed in battle, but David was responsible for his death. And you know, there is nothing that God does not see. A few months later, presumably probably close to 9 months, we're told here that Nathan the prophet now comes to David to let him know that there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And God told David, you've sinned, and laid out his consequences of his sin. But again, this is where it becomes interesting. You know, unlike people who are often driven to write off a person because of one sin, which we see this was a huge sin, God, and this is what is interesting, God did not write off David. While the consequences of his sin stood, God did not forget his work. God did not forget the love David had for him. God did not forget what David had done in history, in his past, and also even after the sin. And now in the book of 1 Kings, God will now say of David, 1 Kings chapter 15, begin at verse 4. He said, "But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he was commanded all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite." So what you see in this narrative here that we see after the death of David was God saying, "Listen, I'm not unjust. I saw what David did to Uriah the Hittite. But David, to me, is a man that did better things. David is the man that is an example of someone that walks wholeheartedly with me." God was not unjust to forget David's work and his love for his holy name. But this is the key. What implication now does this have for you and I? This is where I'm going this morning. What implication now, what spiritual principle can we actually harvest from this very truth that we find embedded in the scriptures? There are three things this morning I want you to understand. First thing I want you to understand is this. In Christ, our good works are never lost in the metrics of our imperfection. I want you to write that down, loved ones, this morning. In Christ, our good works are never lost in the metrics of our imperfection. I want you to pay attention to this story one more time. Look at David. David's imperfection was blatant. David's imperfection was blatant in his masterminding of the murder of Uriah the Hittite. Now think about this, loved ones. If David was to be present in the contemporary culture, he would probably be charged with second-degree murder. Let's assume, depending on the state, the maximum sentence for that crime is probably 25 to life imprisonment. You know, the judicial system does not, your good works get lost in the metrics of your imperfection when it comes to the judicial system. In other words, the judicial system does not even consider what you've done. They just see that this is a crime committed and this is the justice that's going to be meted out. But in God's economy, I want you to pay attention to this, in God's economy, that not only did God acknowledged the good work that David had done, but God also used David as a standard of wholehearted devotion. And David will later write in Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23, he said, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be utterly cast out, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." The reason David could write that in Psalm 37 was because David understood that in God's economy, your good deeds are never lost in the metrics of your imperfection. But what about the story of Abraham? Abraham, we read, he was a great man of faith and he was a friend of God, as James will write. Yet, his imperfection was obvious when he came to Gerar, Genesis chapter 20, and he said of his wife, you are my sister. And he said of his wife, Sarah, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king, took Sarah into his house. Now, listen to me, loved ones. I'm a married man. If I say to anybody, my wife is my sister, and some man takes my wife into his house, I'm going to be getting a divorce letter in less than 24 hours. Apart from that, my in-laws are going to crucify me. Not only that, my son will denounce me. Why? Because that to them would be the apex of sin. And no matter how good I've been before then, my good works are lost in the metrics of my imperfection. But this was not the case. God actually stepped in and actually came to Abimelech in his dream. And I said, Abimelech, listen, the woman you got in your home is another man's wife. Guess what? Give her back unless my judgment is coming. Abimelech said, Lord, I did this in the integrity of my heart. The man told me that she was my sister, and that's why I took her in. And God said, listen, I know that. But guess what? You need to return his wife. And apart from that, he needs to pray for you. Watch out now. Abraham now needs to pray. Abraham was the one that was imperfect. He now needs to pray for Abimelech so that God could heal Abimelech because of his activity or of taking of Sarah. But what you see in that, loved ones, is simple. Listen to me this morning. Yes, we all will come to a point in our existence on this earth that our imperfection will become obvious. There will be things that we'll say. There will be ways that we'll act. People will tend. Again, I want you to watch this. People will tend to judge you. People will label you by your imperfection. People will judge you by one single event that probably you got wrong. But may I tender to you this morning, if you are in Christ, your good works are never lost in the metrics of your imperfection. God is able to make you stand. God is able to say to you, yes, you got it wrong. Yes, discipline is going to come in. But guess what? You are still my own. The righteousness of Christ still covers you. I have accepted you. I have elected you. And the mercy of God still holds on your life. In the story of David, it reminds us that God is never unjust. God still knows the work you do. Even in the midst of your imperfection, God's mercy is always abounding. What a blessing that is. The second spiritual truth this morning, loved ones, I want you to glean from this narrative that we just looked at is this. Don't let people's perception or insensitivity determine the extent of your good works. Again, you want to write this down, everybody. Don't let people's perception or insensitivity determine the extent of your good works. Now, watch this story. Though we are not told, but I will assume that this failure of David must have damaged his reputation in the eyes of the people. Perhaps he has lost credibility. Perhaps those that look at him in high honor and placed him on the pedestal now look down on him because of this failure. But what is so important here is that while people might have perceived David differently, David's attitude towards God never changed. David passionately pursued God. David rebounded and pursued God with so much great passion. And you can see even in Psalm 51, when David poured out his heart before God, seeking God's mercy and forgiveness for his failure. And he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. He said, renew within me your joy. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And you can see David did not let people's perception of his failure hinder his pursuit of God and also hinder the good works that he's doing for Christ. And I think it's important for you and I to understand even today that even in our time that we stumble, in the time of our imperfection, we must be careful that we don't let people's perception determine whether we're still going to be doing what is right or not. We mustn't let people's insensitivity to what you're doing determine whether you're going to do what is right or not. Regardless of how people perceive you, regardless of people's insensitivity, you are called to continue to do what is right. Because guess what? God is not unjust to forget your good deeds. He's not unjust to forget all the good works that you're doing. God is watching you. And I'm always convinced as a pastor that what Paul said is extremely relevant in this situation. When Paul reminded us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said this. He said, "Do not be weary in well-doing." And I truly believe this should be a perfect commentary on this very point. Do not be weary in doing what is right. Paul said, if you do not faint. And I truly believe the reason Paul is saying if you do not faint, because Paul understood that at times when we do our good deeds, when we do our good works, other people's perception can impact what we do. At times people's insensitivity can impact it. But Paul said, do not be weary. Rather, Paul encourages us, you know, if you do not faint, you are going to reap. In other words, you are going to receive a reward because there is a God who sees everything, who knows everything, who is watching you. And God is not unjust. And I think it's important, loved ones, this morning for you to understand that God is not unjust to forget your work and the work that you've done for his holy name. It's not unjust when people don't appreciate you. God sees that. And God is going to reward you. This brings me to my next point. And the next point, a spiritual principle we can glean from this narrative is simple. God always rewards good works or good deeds. Again, you want to write that down. God always rewards good works, good deeds. And if you pay attention to this story of David, you know, his good deeds did not go unrewarded. You know, when David had passed and his son Solomon became king, and Solomon, with all his wisdom, married foreign wives, then he departed from the Lord. And the Lord now comes to Solomon. He now comes through a prophet. And he said this to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 34. He said this. He said, "Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand." Because God was going to take the kingdom out of the hands of the son of Solomon. And he said, "But I won't take the kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose, who observed all my commandment and precepts." Again, I want you to watch what God says to Solomon here. God said, "Listen, Solomon, you failed. You disobeyed me. But listen, for the sake of my servant David, who walked faithfully before me, my servant David, whose good works is now transcending even his own time, which good works is now going before him. And because of him, God now said, I will give even you a couple of tribes in the nation of Israel." And when the nation of Israel was divided, 10 tribes went to the north, and 2 tribes, Benjamin and Judah, came to the south. And all because of the works of David, the man after God's own heart. And this morning, I'm here to tender to you that there is nothing you do in terms of your good deeds or good works that doesn't go unrewarded. And if you now go to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus now comes to teach us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, the Lord Jesus will say this. He said, "And whoever in the name of a disciple give one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." Again, I want you to pay attention to that. The Lord Jesus said, listen, if you give a cup of cold water, and because of these disciples, you give a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. But the Lord Jesus even lays it out more eloquently in Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31, the Lord Jesus will say this to his disciples. He said, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, You who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you visited me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we that we fed you? Thirsty that we gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in? Or naked and we clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? Then the Lord, the King, will answer and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you've did it to this one of my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you've done it unto me. Loved ones, I want you to watch the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the daily obedience, doing what God calls us to do, being faithful ambassadors for Jesus, doing good deeds, doing the good works. You know, God is not unjust. The person that you're ministering to that nobody knows, God sees that. The person that you devote time to go to see in prison or to go to see in the hospital and pray for that person, God sees that. And what God is saying is this, when you've done it to the least of them, in other words, those that are weak, they can't do it back to you. Those that are weak, they can't repay you. When you've done it to the least of them, you've done it as unto the Lord. Because the Lord understands good deeds. And he wants us as believers to constantly major in doing good works and to realize that there is nothing that you do for Christ that's in vain. There is nothing that you do in the name of Jesus. There is no good deeds, no good works that you do that will go unrewarded. God will reward you for your faithfulness. God will reward you for all that you do for the glory of his holy name. And this morning, I tender to your loved ones, stay the course. Don't veer to the left. Don't veer to the right. Stay consistent. Continue to do what is right. Because God is not unjust to forget all the works you do, ministering, and the love you show for his saints. God is not unjust. And God, in due time, will reward you and I. May God this morning add a blessing to this word and give us all the courage and the passion to do to his name's sake, the glory of his name. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, my God, now commit to thee the declaration of thy word. Father, be thou glorified as thy word is declared. I pray that thou will bless this word, that everywhere men and women will listen. Their heart will be quickened to say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. My Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray.